You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay. It's been kind of a crazy weekend, man. Had a stomach bug that I contracted from my precious daughter, who is totally worth it, and precious and sweet. And we are just so thankful for every day, almost all day. But you know how it is, man. I was laughing with another friend, and they were like, you know, if I had a nickel for every time I got sick because of something my, kids brought home from daycare, I could have retired a lot earlier. So anyway, just part of it, man. But yeah, we're doing okay. Getting back on our feet and, enjoying the week. All right, how are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing really, really well. In fact, today as we're recording is actually the day after my birthday.
Yeah, so, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. It's interesting because this is the first year in quite some time that I've had a birthday without being on Facebook. So how Facebook reminds us of all the people whose birthday you're supposed to. I was like, all right. So the amount of text messages or instant messages was definitely low, which was kind of nice, to be honest. I don't like to be bugged on my birthday. I mean, like, you know, it's always nice to have people thinking of you and everything, but at the same time, you know, I actually put my phone down and spent a lot of good time with the family. And, you know, I had a bit of a stomach issue last night, but in a very different kind of way. Uh-oh. We went out to a really, really like amazing steak restaurant here in Houston. And we got, you ever seen a tomahawk steak?
I've heard of that, but I can't recall what it is. I have heard that term though before. Is that like a couple cuts like combined or something?
No. So like this is like that Fred Flintstone giant bone sticking out of the meat type situation.
Uh huh.
So we ordered one. I've always wanted to have one. Every single time I go to I'm like, oh, I'm gonna order one today, and then I see the price. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'll probably just get something else. You know, like I want to be a big spender, and then I realize I'm not that big in terms of my spending. But I thought, you know what, for my birthday, I'm doing this. And so, yeah, my wife and I went out to the butcher shop here in Texas, and we got the what they call the long bone, which is a tomahawk steak. They bring it out. Yeah. They actually carve it up at your table and everything. It was quite the experience, which
I love,
you know, culinary experiences like that. And man, I don't know if you've ever heard of meat drunk before, but I overdid it the night. Oh yeah,
man. Yeah. that's tough, man. I know. I've had that exact experience before. I know exactly what you're talking about. So,
but it was delicious. Well,
I'm glad if you're going to overdo it a little bit on your birthday. And man, I'm glad you. How much did that steak cost? I have to ask.
You know, I walked away so I didn't have to look at the receipt when it came by. Because not only that, like I wanted to go all out. Like I wanted to get a glass of Blanton's, but they didn't have any Blanton's. It's hard to get a hold of Blanton's.
You can't get Blanton's anymore. I mean, it's crazy. It's not, I mean, it's a good whiskey, but it's not that good. Come on. No. Let's occasionally be able to buy Blanton's.
just like for a special occasion, you would think, but no, they didn't have it. And so I was like, all right, well, let me get a glass of Lagavulin, which I love. And I don't currently have at the house. And they didn't have that. I was like, what's going on? And so then they come in, they're like, well, how about Laphroaig? Laphroaig's peaty and Lagavulin. I was like, well, I'm not looking for peat. At the moment, I like Lagavulin, but I wasn't going for that extreme peat kick to the face that Lagavulin is right now. And so, but fortunately, it's a Belvini Caribbean cask, which is, you know, it's not quite as hoity-toity as I was going for, but it is a good.
The Caribbean cask is good from Belvini. I thought you were about to say that you went for Old Charter, which, you know, might have been more appropriate for, you know, our Country Squire Radio family. But anyway,
right.
No, that's great. Well, man, happy birthday to you. And it's good to be in your life, man. And I'm glad you're in mine. So.
Hey, thanks, brother. Likewise. Absolutely. Well, hey, so this is going to be kind of an interesting episode, but before we jump into it, man, speaking of kind of the Country Squire family.
Yeah.
As I understand it, you have added an addition to the Country Squire family. No, not another kid.
No, please don't tell me that. No, that's right, man. We have a new staff member at our shop, and it's someone I'm very proud to announce. His name is Quinn Crawford, and Quinn is a local pipe smoker, pipe enthusiast and aficionado, someone that is a regular pipe smoker, definitely into the you know, the pipe community kind of in the interwebs, and also here locally in our local you know, pipe shop community. And man, just so proud to have Quinn on board. Yeah. So if you've called the shop before, you may have talked to a sweet lady named Liz. And Liz is you know, she kind of does all of our shipping orders and gets those in out in a timely manner, and helps with a lot of customer service issues and things like that. And she is actually retiring this year, and we had to find someone that you know, could replace her. She's a very small lady, but she has very big shoes, and so we we needed a very specific person that could fill that gap for us. And man, so we hired Quinn. Quinn is a man, just a local native here to the Jackson area. Great guy, has just such a kind personality. He's really smart and you know, enjoys smoking pipes. He has a generous artisan pipe collection, and you know, really enjoys English and Virginia style blends, and just very knowledgeable about it. So anyway, glad to have him, man. Just really fired up, wanted to announce that. And Quinn is going to be kind of training over the next couple months as Liz gets ready to, you know, kind of retire fully, and then he'll take over all the shipping business and also our website business, which will be great. So anyway, really excited about that. Quinn Crawford, if y'all do call the shop and chat with him, be sure to tell him, hey, introduce yourself. And man, we're just really thrilled to have him.
Awesome, man. Hopefully we get Quinn on mic at some point too.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to, you can follow him as well. He's on Instagram at the, let's see, he's at Magnolia Piper.
Well, hey, like I mentioned, man, this is going to be a very different kind of episode. In fact, it's going to be such a different kind of episode. I'm going to do something that I have never done on this podcast, or at least I very rarely do, I think is more accurate to say. And that is to tell the dear listener, if this is your first time listening to Country Squire Radio, this is not the episode for you to listen to.
Just
stop. Go back a few episodes. You can listen to last week's episode, maybe next week's episode, but not this one. This episode is very specifically a follow-up to one that we did very recently. Of course, listeners are well aware we had the McClelland Legacy episode that went out a few weeks ago. And to say that it has been heard would be a bit of an understatement.
Right.
and you know, we knew when we actually put out that episode that it was going to be one that was probably going to require some follow-up. We knew that we were going to be talking about McClelland, and specifically the exit of McClelland in a way that just really hasn't been done from an industry standpoint, and also kind of pulling back the curtain in a way that we don't traditionally do. And with that in mind, we knew that it was such a sensitive topic that it wouldn't be fair for us to just put out our own thoughts on it, but to also kind of give some room to gather feedback so that the community can also kind of have their say on this, what is a very controversial and at least an impassioned topic, let's say.
Yeah, sure.
And so that was kind of the mindset that we had even going in back then. And you know, there is an aspect of this. It's really, really funny because, you know, you think about listeners who may not realize this, but like this episode, well, every single episode, there's so much attention to detail and preparation that goes in. I mean, I get asked all the time, how much, you know, like John David is so knowledgeable. How much is that off the cuff, or how much research? And I'm like, you know, I don't know how much I should like pretend like it's all off the cuff for you versus like the hours and hours of research that you put into it. But regardless, you know, there is, you know, you may be surprised to learn there's a lot of effort that goes into this podcast.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. That particular one, because of the amount of, I think it's safe to say, anxiety or at least concern that existed, we put in some special care, let's say, into that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's well put. It's something that we were both very kind of preoccupied with. And if and when we were going to do that episode, we felt like we had to do it perfectly. And there was just not a lot of margin for error. And so, you know, we hope that we did it that way, and surely tried to. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, the episode took off in a big way. And I want to make something very clear, because a lot of times when, you know, content creators or YouTubers or, you know, podcasters, like when people like catch lightning in a bottle, so to speak, they tend to change everything that they're doing and double down on that, like that one thing. You know what I mean? Mm, I mean, yeah. Like we've all seen this. If anybody who's kind of followed any kind of content creator, you've seen that situation happen. That was a special episode for us. It was an important episode for us. We'll talk more about it here in a little bit. But the point that I want to make is it was a special episode. It's not the new Country Squire Radio.
Yeah, the new MO. Yeah,
exactly. Like that is that's not who we are. That's not who we ever have been.
Yeah, I agree.
We felt it important to do something different and special given the topic and the impact that it had on a lot of industry folks. But we're not reformatting, even with this episode right now. The goal with this is to kind of close, you know, if we were opening a book, we're trying to close the book with this episode, so to speak, as opposed to like, you know, doubling down or kind of setting a new tone for Country Squire Radio or anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Who we are is who we always have been. We caught lightning in a bottle a long time ago. We're not trying to change that from that standpoint. But I always think that's good. But it did seem like this was the time.
After 3 years, the dust had settled and it felt like the right thing to do. I'm glad we did. Yeah.
Okay. So this is interesting because we recorded this episode about a week before it actually released. And part of that was intentional to kind of let it breathe a little bit. John David, you know, re-listened to it several times before it went out.
I had to go to therapy and all that. Yeah.
And I even alluded to it, I believe on the episode that it was actually not the first time that episode had been recorded. The first time me and Russ did it while you were out, and I realized, and it was about, I don't know if it was as long as that one ended up being, but it was a longer episode. And I realized as soon as we got off, I'm like, man, this is like, no, we can't do this without John David. Like on the one hand, I was excited because I was like, woohoo, like the grown-up's not in the room. We can go crazy. But then I was like, yeah, but then the grown-up has to go pay the tab for the kid that broke everything. So let me just go make sure that he's cool.
Hey, your kid messed all this stuff up. That'll be $20,000.
Yeah. Right. And Russ was like, well, let him listen to it. I'm like, John, no, I'm not going to do that to John David. Like, we just need to have him on this. We like, this is, and so all that to say that there was a, you know, it was not like a spur of the moment thing. In many respects, it's an episode that's been a couple years in the making. And one in which, honestly, if not for the pandemic, we probably would have actually covered a lot sooner as we were kind of talking about it before the world started changing. One of the weird things that did happen though, is
this was weird.
This was so weird. Bizarre. So we recorded it and then like, I started kind of, you know, posting out to our supporters on Patreon and kind of letting them know like, hey, this is a different kind of episode coming. We're going to be talking about McClelland and it's going to be a different kind of conversation than you've heard before. And people are like, oh, is it because of this? And they were all like, everybody was sending us the links and you probably already saw it on your own just because you're already in the world. But a mysterious Instagram account just popped up out of nowhere. And the speculation mill ran wild. It looked to be McClelland branded.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And everybody was like, it's the second coming.
So just to, you know, get the timeline right. Bo and I and Russ record this episode. And then about 4 or 5 days later, a new Instagram account is created.
Yeah.
And it is called, now this is before the episode aired, right? So, but in between the time we recorded it and when it aired, and the name of this Instagram account is McClelland Tobacco.
Yep.
And the photo of its logo or whatever is just the McClelland logo with the whale and all that. And the account has since, I think, been kind of maybe not deactivated, but kind of, turned into a shell. I think they've been maybe approached and husked out. But anyway, they were posting some things about, you know, pictures of frogs and some Lord of the Rings kind of themed things that you would get the sense that, you know, okay, well, that's cute and a pipe smoker might come up with that, but that doesn't really sound like McClelland, you know, I don't know. It was just interesting to me and really more than anything, it was fascinating, you know, that came up at the time that it did. So,
we
kind of scratched our heads. We were like, okay, so we recorded this episode that's, you know, about McClelland and we're a little nervous about it. And, we're a few days out from it, dropping on iTunes. And in the meantime, this Instagram account pops up and it's like,
I remember thinking like at first, like, oh man, like I had a little bit of a panic moment. I was like,
yeah,
are they really coming back? Because we, cool. I wish we had released this a week prior.
I know, right?
And you were like, no, this is just like fans do this all the time. It's just a fake account. And, you know, don't, you know, it's, you know, the thing, but the reality is that there's been such a, there's such a passion, obviously, for McClellan products and such a desire for a resurgence that I think, you know, the rumor mill started going crazy. And so that IG's out there, the conversation has been started or reignited. And then lo and behold, we drop our very unique take on McClellan that very week. And I guess a perfect storm might be too much to say. it might be putting too much emphasis on it, but it was almost so perfect that I was like, did I create that IG account? I almost wanted to ask you, and I was like, no, John David wouldn't do that. I know it wasn't you, but it does sound like something that I would do.
it's funny how that worked out. It really was. And we have on good authority that account was not in any way, shape, or form affiliated with the folks that were at McClellan. But yeah, you know, it's just one of those quirky things. And so we wanted to, you know, as we're bringing up this kind of McClellan part two postmortem to the postmortem, we wanted to, before we get into listener feedback, at least wanted to acknowledge that happened, and that, you know, they're in no way related to us at all. The last thing I want to do is go, moonlight is, you know, try to be a fake version of some other company out there, much less, you know, a company as storied and respected as McClellan.
So, my only real big takeaway from that, aside from just how weird it was and just how perfect timing it was, you know, I guess quotations, perfect timing it was, is I was just like, man, this is like, this seems like too perfect. Like, nobody's going to like blame us for that. Nobody's like me specifically. Nobody's going to like, you know what? Bo probably set that up.
I bet Bo did that.
Yeah. I'm kind of offended that nobody thought it was. It wasn't, but I kind of wish it was.
Yeah, there were folks on a couple forums that I heard that were like, well, you know, that maybe they were in some sense, like, you know, created that in order to drive people to this episode.
Oh, did they? Okay, good. Somebody did.
So I have heard that hypothesis, Bo, and so you can rest assured that someone thinks you're conniving enough to.
Okay, good. That actually makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, so that did actually happen. Yeah, but of course, you know, that's something that we would never do.
No, not at all. But that is hilarious, though. All right, well, good deal. Look, that we needed to acknowledge that before diving in. But the thing is, man, there was a lot of nerves surrounding this, and because of the nature of how this went out, it was fascinating, because obviously many of you, I would say the vast majority of you listening to the show right now, you are doing so as a pipe smoker, as somebody who has a love of the craft, or at least an interest of the craft. You either come to this because of, you know, you really want to like learn more about the various pipe tobaccos, or really just kind of share in the tobacco passion, or, you know, you love the carving, the pipe carving, or maybe you just love the imagery and you don't even smoke a pipe. I know we've got listeners like that, you know,
we sure do. Yeah.
All over the place on the spectrum here. And the reality is, for those of you that fall in almost every single one of those categories, likely you were fairly unaware of most of what we shared. In fact, you know, the casual pipe smoker, which, I mean, I get it. Most of our, like, if you're listening to a show about pipe tobacco, you're not just a casual pipe smoker, but at the same time, we are a show that caters to a lot of casual pipe smokers. And so I saw the feedback and recognized a lot of people like, this is fascinating. I had no idea about any of this. Like, when I say any of this, they had no idea about any of this. Like, well, I never heard of McClellan, or like, oh, well, you know, I saw McClellan here, but I never realized like how big they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, that became apparent to me afterwards. Bo, you and I are both so wrapped up in the community and in the industry that a lot of the times we just assume that, and we're guilty of this a lot on Country Squire Radio, but, you know, we throw these terms around that, you know, from any type of leaf varietal, like, you know, Latakia and Perique to, you know, a certain tobacco cut, like we talked about last week, or anything else. We're just assuming that people kind of have this base vocabulary and shared history and all this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, for a lot of folks that haven't been into the pipe world, aren't, you know, don't go to the shows and don't know the people that make these products. And, you know, they're just folks that, you know, are enjoying their pipe because they love it. It ministers to their heart. And, you know, it's something they do to unwind after a long day. And, you know, they're not involved in all these blogs and, you know, the communities and they don't go to the shows and everything, but it's, you know, but they love the pipe. And so they listen to country squire radio to kind of augment that. And so I think it did catch some of those people kind of like, oh, well, I didn't really know about any of that,
but
that's fascinating. And I'm, you know, at least now I know, but right. So it was, that was eye-opening, I think, for you and me.
Yeah. And, but the thing is, it really did, at least from our vantage point, kind of, it showed, divide is the wrong word, because I don't mean divided in the sense of separated in a negative way. I mean, literally just there are different groups of people. It showed a divide in our listenership of those that listen like that are more kind of casual pipe smokers, which again, I mean, is the vast majority of folks that are tuning in.
Yeah.
And then the minority of our audience that are in the industry adjacent or industry enthusiasts. And those people, their response was very different through the episode.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of it's so wild, because you would get, you know, like a couple, you know, for emails or posts or comments of people like saying, like, oh, very, you know, interesting, very cool, learned a lot this episode. And then people like, oh my gosh, is John David okay? Like, is he still alive? Yeah, like, have you put him in a safe place right now?
Has someone cut his brakes, you know?
It was just a drastically different response to the episode. And I mean, like, it really does kind of come, you know, and maybe to, you know, I mean, I feel like we set it up the right way. I hope we did, because we kind of communicated. It was very much an inside baseball type of episode for sure. But man, yeah, it was fascinating to see that feedback. I know that you and I both, got texts and kind of people personally reaching out to us, asking about how things were. And, you know, one of the things I want to do with this episode, we've gathered a lot of the emails that we've gotten, and we're going to share that. We're not going to share any of our personal text messages per se, because obviously that's a different, you know, if you reach out in that way, it's a completely different understanding. Yeah. That being said, I am curious, because you and I really haven't talked. You even told me after we released the episode, like, I don't share any of the feedback with me. Like,
No, seriously, we did this episode. My father-in-law had just had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then the 2 days later, my wife and I rushed down to Florida with our two kids that we have referenced on the show, and my doggone daughter microwaved my iPhone. Right. And so my whole life was just in a complete turmoil at the time. And we were, you know, scared for him and all this other stuff. So I literally called Bo and I said, look, do not tell me, like, people are going to be emailing, people are going to be texting and tweeting and all this stuff. I don't want to hear it. I can't hear it. I don't have the bandwidth for it. I don't have the emotional capacity. Like, I just don't. And so, but I did receive, you know, some personal stuff, you know, from friends that I've made in the world of pipes, you know, kind of throughout that time. And it was encouraging to hear from buddies and folks that listened and had opinions, and, you know, they were all constructive.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the part that I'm curious about. The feedback that you got, I mean, like, was it widely, you know, supportive? Did you get any death threats that you were concerned about? what was kind of the general consensus?
Honestly, you know, I heard from a lot of folks that I've known and met just kind of through the pipe world, and they said, you know, that and really I was impressed with this and just very thankful and kind of surprised. They said they were proud of me. They said they were proud of me. And a couple of them even said, you know, I've been wanting to say something about this for a while, but don't have the microphone or the audience or something like that, you know? And it's something that has irked me since the beginning and that type, or, you know, when all this happened. And so in some sense, I think it, you know, to the people that reached out to me, they kind of felt like it gave them a voice a little bit. I don't know. And that was comforting to me. It really was. What was also, so I received a lot of encouragement about it, a lot of, you know, agreement with kind of our assessment, of the you know, situation with McClelland. And you know, what was also very clear though, and this came through very, very clear, was that all these people love McClelland. Mm-hmm. Like all these people, like, you know, they were like, yeah, you're right. Like that sucks, but you know what? We love McClellan. I mean, that came through so clearly. And as a matter of fact, we even got an email from one individual who said, I'll never forget it. It was just so well written. He said, "I love McClellan, period. I love you guys, period." And you know, and that's right. It's can we hold both these things in our hands at the same time? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
We can. And that made me feel good. Yeah.
That's exactly right. I think thanks for sharing that. I didn't realize that's right. Yeah. That's perfect. Because I think that's the message I hope that we communicated is the answer to that question is yes. Yes, you can absolutely love McClellan and love Country Squire Radio. We love McClellan and we love Country Squire Radio.
That's in part why we did the episode. I think that should communicate in some sense the reverence we have for that. And again, looking back on that episode, and I did listen to it to a whole bunch before it went out. I needed to communicate how, you know, the respect we have for that company and the respect, how much I look up to the people we mentioned and the you know, company and what they've accomplished and their products and their processes and everything. Man, I mean, just if I could only be that guy, right, when I grow up, kind of thing. And it's like the kid that is looking at Michael Jordan shoes, being like, man, could I be that guy one day? And that's the kind of respect we have for these people. And so, I really hope that came through, and I think it did.
Well, so that's the thing. It did for some, and for others, I'll put it this way. I hope it did for most people. Because at the same time, while all that is absolutely true, the goal was to not hold any punches and to just be very, very raw and real. And we come at that from a couple of different angles, obviously in the show. And I think one of the things that came out of, especially a lot of the discussions that I was having from different folks, was a feeling that this was pressing in on something a little deeper, in a generational sense. And what I mean by that is because obviously we were talking about, the McClellan and the McNeils and by name and powerhouses who have been in the industry for quite some time.
Yeah, sure.
And there are a lot of folks that are around the McNeils have been and who are also powerhouses in the industry and have been for some time.
Yeah, certainly predate us by, in some cases, decades. Right?
I'll put it this way. If ever, like, and this is not the situation, but if the McNeils ever need to circle the wagons, the people circling them are some powerhouses. They are some people who have got long legacies and have really just been at the height of the industry in many respects. And some big names and carry a lot of weight, names that carry a lot of weight. If Country Squire Radio was to circle the wagons,
Gumby might show up.
My point is, I want to make this very clear. We're not, there's no going to war. If there was, we'd already be defeated. You know what I mean? There's that.
Right. Right.
there's no desire for anything like that.
Right.
But the other factor too, is that I think a lot of people were kind of pressing in on this notion of like, well, you've got the old guard and the old guard has a view on the industry that is negative. And it's like, well, it's not what the old days were, and just everything's awful, and you know, y'all don't know anything, and la la la. And then you've got the new guard, which is like, hey, we know that it's not what it was. We weren't here for that. We're here for what it is now, and we see a lot of excitement, and we see a lot of like a new kind of a new day for the industry. It might not be what your day was, but honestly, if it was what your day was, we wouldn't be here. Like there's an aspect of which,
that's like, interesting, Bo. That's well put. Yeah.
So that tension that exists, it's a generational one largely. And I think it's a generational one that even the casual pipe smoker can understand, because I think many of us have experienced this walking into our local pipe shops, at least at first, and trying to find our community. Now, the Country Squire is one of these shops, and there, I know there are several of these shops across America and across the world, likely, where there is, a intergenerational kind of connection that you can find in the pipe shop. I think in the modern world that has to happen. There needs to be, mm-hmm. you know, the pipe can be this great unifier. And I think in a lot of different aspects, and I think that that plays in here, especially.
It is. Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. but when you mix industry with it, that's when things get the tensions are there. So I want to make something very clear. Country Squire Radio has extreme respect for our elders in the industry. And I don't mm-hmm. just mean elders in terms of age. I'm talking specifically experience here. Okay. Don't misunderstand this.
I'm talking about
folks that have carved out not just a name for themselves, but have carved out new spaces in the industry and have really been pillars that have held it up. There are individuals, young and old. I want to make this very clear. When I was talking about people like Kiss the Ring people, I'm not just talking about old people. There's somebody I am thinking of right now. And John David knows exactly who I'm talking about without me having to say.
Poor
Bo.
Who
is a younger individual that is definitely not an older statesman that is in that camp. So it is not the criticism is not generational when I talk about the Kiss the Ring folks.
Yeah, sure.
But more importantly than that is that of that industry legacy folks, people who have been in this some time back before we were born, like there are some really great people who've done great work, and not just have done great work and made great products, but are great people. And you know, we pride ourselves on doing shows where we can highlight various aspects of the industry. And one of the things I want to make sure that we do in the future, just to make sure that that is extremely clear, is, you know, you will be seeing in the next several weeks highlights of individuals from kind of like legacy in the pipe tobacco world. Those folks that are still with us, they may be still in the industry, they may not still be in the industry, but people that need to be highlighted and celebrated. We don't get on the mic to get excited to like go kick somebody. Like we are here to big up people. You know what I mean? Like we are here to celebrate. Yeah. And so that's something that you know, I really want to make clear is that there is not a generational warfare on here at Country Squire.
Yeah, gosh, not at all. I mean, I think, you know, if folks have listened to one thing about us, you know, we're ridiculous and get on here and talk all kinds of shenanigans and tell silly stories and everything else. But I think one thing we go to links to make clear is that, you know, we want to honor people on this podcast. We really do. And so, you know, we want to be respectful and we want to be, we want to set a tone that is, humble and, fun, but humble and, you know, and honoring. And so, I think we go to great pains to make that clear. And so, I hope we communicate that to you, the listener, and to, you know, folks that are both older pipe smokers that know what the pipe industry and community was like back in the 60s and 70s and maybe the 50s in some cases, and newer pipe smokers that you know, as I mentioned on that show, wouldn't are new you know, maybe 10 years in, but also are new here just in a couple of years, you know, in the past year or so, mm-hmm. that are listening. As I mentioned on that show, you might not know what a McClelland is if it hit you in the face, you know. and I think you know, so we just want that to be clear that, you know, Bo and I not only that, we recognize kind of where we're at in the industry. You know, we you know, again, we're just a couple of pipe enthusiasts, one that wound up becoming a retailer and you know, and have access to, you know, this wonderful thing because of the talent of my colleague here, and you know, have built quite a community by God's grace, and are thankful for it, and developed an audience. And man, if you're listening, you're a part of that, we guess. And and so, you know, we get on here and talk, and that's great. And man, there are so many people that have come before us that that we stand on their shoulders. And and the pipe community here is still around because of those people.
That's right. Well, man, you know who is one of the, you know, I promise I did not mean for this to happen. This is just happening organically. talking about like one of the most experienced individuals, one of like the best people, one of our favorite people in the industry. You know who fits that category?
I have a few guys in mind, but who comes to your mind today, Bo?
Well, just given the position of where this falls in the episode, of course I'm talking about Phil Morgan, our good friend from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right, man. Phil, man, such a great friend, and of course, a titan in the industry in his own right, took the managership of Missouri Meerschaum over several years ago and has really just breathed such a life into that historic company. Been there over 150 years and are still coming out with just killer products and stellar service and the quality that you would expect from a company with that kind of story. And so, man, just love Phil and what he does. His whole family's involved in the operation, which is really extra special. And they going up there, just, you know, touring their facility, seeing what they've got going on. It makes the pipe smoker feel like you're just getting a big hug, and you really are. So, man, you can learn more about their products, Phil, and the entire company at corncobpipe.com. Just such an excellent company, excellent legacy, and we are so proud to be on their team.
That's right, man. Hey, a great way to support the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum is if you've got a corncob pipe from them. Taking a selfie while you're smoking it, we love to retweet that out, share it out there to the good folks to let them know that you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, man. So we're rocking and rolling here. And I think we kind of we set the stage. We shared kind of some of our personal thoughts, feedback that we've seen, wanted to set the record straight on a few things. But, man, it's time to dive into the feedback that we got from the folks. The Spurgeon Piper wrote in and said, you know, fantastic episode, guys. I knew very little about McClelland's departure. And I think that a lot of folks, as we mentioned at the top of the show, really kind of fall in that same mindset. Is like, well, I didn't really know a lot about what was going on at the time because of you know, the proximity to the industry. That said, you know, it kind of runs the gambit in terms of some of the stuff that we got. This next one comes up from Charlie Atkins from the AZ Pipe Club. Now, this is, of course, the Arizona Pipe Club. What did he have to say?
Greetings, JD and Bo. My name is Charlie Atkins, and I head up the Arizona Pipe Club. I've listened to your show and have enjoyed it immensely over the years and continue to do so now. I appreciate the latest podcast, and I know that from a perspective of being a Christian, we owe it to ourselves and others to be honest about what we see, whether it be in the church or secular society. Quote, to thine own self be true, unquote, and that's from William Shakespeare. I will spare the biblical text in regards to the church. It's probably good for this context. I have met Mike McNeil a few times and had lengthy conversations with him. He's a brilliant guy. Once you engage him, he will do all the talking, and he is a very prideful person. In the biblical sense, I think you get the drift. Mike has had back problems, and the property they owned where they had processed the tobacco had grown stratospherically in value. Mary is substantially older than Mike, and I think they wanted to cash in their chips and spend the rest of their years enjoying the fruits of their labor. I cannot blame them for that, but concur with you guys that said about the what you guys said about the narrow-mindedness of not sharing the proprietary practices and selling the company so that it could go on in perpetuity. I think that with the deeming practices laid forth by the FDA and the fact that Mike and Mary showed no interest in selling the recipes at such a critical juncture in time, that any possibility of getting the blends approved for production was just a pipe dream, no pun intended. Congratulations on the birth of George, JD, and the continuing growth of your family. Bo, I hope that moving to Texas has exceeded your wildest expectations in regard to your career and your wife's and your family. So warmest regards, and that's from Charlie in Arizona. So good thoughts there. I think, you know, it was clear Charlie, that, you know, at the end of the day that, you know, Mike and Mary were ready to, ready to settle down and, had put a lot of really, you know, put a lot of hard work in over the years and had earned some, time off and are ready to enjoy that. And so, we certainly hope they do.
Yeah, man. That's really, really good feedback. This next one's coming in from Eric V. Said, I really enjoyed your most recent episode. I never thought that much about rather how other people would in the industry would receive the way that McClellan exited the industry. I know McClellan aged a lot of things in cakes for several years before canning them. Never experienced the same level of vinegar notes in other tobaccos, but other Virginias will take on a fermented tartness reminiscent of those same aged flavors. Eric also includes some images of side by side from fresh Orlick golden sliced and 5 years and a 5 years aged version as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever light topping or casing fades and tart mulberry notes emerge. Eric goes on also to comment about, and I'll just kind of abbreviate this portion about kind of my experience with the Houston Pipe Club. And I wanted to say this because I think I want to be careful about how I say this, but you know, I shared a story, or I've shared, you know, in the McClellan episode, I shared about an interaction that occurred. And while I didn't specify that it was in Houston, a lot of people figured out that it was in Houston, and a lot of people who were present, because again, I mentioned it kind of became something of a spectacle to folks that were present. So therefore people remember it, you know? And so, I think a lot of people kind of put two and two together. I got a number of emails and text messages actually to this effect, kind of about this, but I want to just say a couple things. One is that we've got an awesome pipe community here in Houston, an excellent pipe community, excellent pipe shops in Houston, and the Briar Shop in particular.
Boy, no kidding.
Fantastic folks there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe this is probably not even the right place to share it, but I'll share it anyway. You know, it's been, you know, doing Country Squire Radio in Jackson was a very unique experience because we were, you know, already kind of part of the, well, I mean, you obviously were already, you were at the shop and I was a member of the Pipe Club.
Yeah.
But then as time went on, I think actually the Pipe Club really started getting serious about the same time the show was really kind of finding its footing. And so we were surrounded by people that we already knew and that already knew us. And like, you know, you mentioned the hurricane last episode, like there are people who, like, you know, like, oh, y'all do a podcast about pipe tobacco that didn't quite know like what Country Squire Radio was.
Yeah, sure.
And even the ones that did were like, oh, that's so cool. That's so great for you guys. You know what I mean? Like there was a very much like a personal connection that already kind of pre-existed the show. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've found that's been awkward on my part and not at all on the part of anybody in the Houston area, I want to make that very clear, is just that it can be a little bit like, you know, the pipe community or the pipe club in Jackson, because I grew up there, because that was the community, is I felt very connected to that community. And coming to Houston, where you have so many great established folks, both in the industry and just in the community, and then kind of coming in as, I wasn't just as a newcomer, I was Bo York from Country Squire Radio. And some people knew what that meant and some people didn't. And I don't want to be treated as Bo York from Country Squire Radio. You know what I mean? I kind of want to just kind of come in and get to know some folks and, you know, get to, you know, kind of organically, but I know that that's not necessarily as much of an option as I wish it was. And so all that to say that, I think maybe I got the impression based on the feedback that I was receiving directly from the episode that some people felt that I had a bad experience with the Houston Pipe Club. I want to make it very clear. That is not the case. I love and respect all the great folks there.
Yeah, everything you always told me about your time at the Houston Pipe Club was always really positive. And, you know, just when you and I would catch up and over Skype and stuff or what do you call this thing? Zoom? You know, you would always talk glowingly about it. So, I mean,
and I want to say this too, they're, you know, as we're now at the kind of the back end of the pandemic, they're meeting again in person over at Stogie's on Westheimer. I'm looking forward to attending in the very near future and, coming in fresh, man. It's been a minute since seeing people in general. So I'm really excited to kind of get back. Hopefully, yeah. So I really do want to kind of pay respects there. And if I sent the wrong message based on kind of what I shared last week, that is completely on me. But no, I love the good folks at the Houston Pipe Club and look forward to connecting with people there, Soren. But anyway, wrapping up Eric's email, he says, anyways, keep up the good work. If John David is reading this, I feel your fatigue as we just had our second son, second child, Elijah, on March 4th. So best regards. Again, that is Eric, obviously from Houston. So so shout out to Eric, and thank you again.
Yeah, Eric, good friend, a longtime listener of the show. And man, we appreciate you, brother, and hope I get to see you soon.
All right, man. This next one is coming in from the Reddit community at r/pipetobacco.
Yeah.
Love the folks out there. You want to like, you want to talk about a group that has all stripes, man. There's, you know, different people from across kind of the passion. If you ever think, and let it be clear, you can never paint the pipe community in one brushstroke. And if you ever think that you can, pop into our pipe tobacco. You got all kind of types of thoughts, feedback, and characters there. And we got a lot of love and respect for a lot of the guys behind the scenes there. So yeah, this one's coming in from Anti-Wit Gen Sign on r/pipe tobacco. What do you have to say?
He says, "Hey Bo, this probably is the best show I've heard from y'all. Thanks for posting about it. I really wanted to thank you for sharing your industry perspective. As a consumer and a Virginia snob, I was crushed when McClellan went down, weren't we all? But to have that poisonous line about how tobacco will never be worth smoking again from the McNeils was disheartening and something that shook all of us. I still see around this sub and some other forums that line. I think it's utter nonsense. Like we have fallen into some dark age of tobacco where we have lost all knowledge of how to grow and process good leaf. This is absurd and unhelpful. I've had so much great Virginia in the last few years, much of it from Sutliff, but also Dan Tobacco, Wessex, and the greater Mac Barron umbrella. As far as some feedback for your future episode, I loved the airing of grievances and found it personally cathartic. I know you tried to end with a positive note, imploring the McNeils to pass their knowledge to someone, anyone, to carry on the work. I try to continue that hopeful note. Maybe do another round of suggestions on what to smoke instead. You could even delve into some more of the home blending, processing, stoving, etc. advice that was touched on in the episode." And that's from Ant Wittgenstein.
No, this is great feedback. And, you know, the reality is yes. I mean, I think this echoes a lot of what we've heard about wanting to, you know, well, let's definitely focus on the positives. And obviously here at Country Squire Radio, that's what we try to do more often than not, for sure. Yeah. I also want to make mention of the fact as well that, and this is not necessarily just an our pipe tobacco thing, because I think I saw this on various Facebook groups as well. There was an interesting discussion that came around the episode from folks, because some people, you could tell who listened to the episode and who didn't.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's a kind of a, you know, people were going back to that company line, like, oh, people are just griping about McClellan gone again, and this is what really happened. It's like, well, did you listen to the episode though? Like, did you like, this is not what you think it is.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people,
yeah, that's right,
who were naysaying what the episode was. I'm like, y'all did not listen to this episode. Like, if you did, you would not be saying what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting kind of to see that feedback. And again, that's not just on the subreddit. I saw that as well a lot on Facebook. Mm-hmm. This next one is an email that we got in from Lorelei. And what did she have to say?
Lorelei, first off, I want to say that I love the show. I started listening somewhere around the episode 30-something and had listened off and on ever since. It's really been special seeing y'all's lives change alongside my own as we move through the different seasons of our lives. Also, the show was extra important during quarantine, anchoring me in a time when the weeks and months blurred together. Thanks for sharing your time, efforts, and expertise. My question relates to the McClellan episode, which was buck wild, by the way. Y'all talked about nothing currently filling the niche of their ketchup-y Red Virginias, specifically 5100 Red Cake. I remember you mentioning 515 RC1 by Sutliff last year. I tried some, and though it doesn't match 5100, it definitely has some similar vibes after letting it chill in a jar for a little while. Do you think that this tobacco is a step on the way to filling that tangy gap in the flavor palette of modern blending? Has it been incorporated into any new blends? Thanks again for all that you do. And that's from Lorelei. Yeah, Lorelei, I thank you for the feedback. Great point. And you know, one thing we didn't really think about as far as a kind of part of the context of last episode is, you know, pointing people into new directions or whatever, as far as, well, you couldn't try this, but, you know, because McClellan doesn't make it anymore, but maybe try this. This is kind of similar. This kind of evokes that, that taste that they were known for type of thing. And yeah, I think the 515 RC1, Sutliff, Red Virginia is a really good place to start. I really do. It is a different animal from 5100. Certainly 5100 is just, such a special tobacco and so precious, but, 515, I think is something really, really good that Sutliff has put out and might, scratch an itch for some of those people out there that are wanting some of that, kind of vinegary tang that Sutliff or McClellan was known for. So, good place to start. And I would, encourage you to get some and maybe even try to incorporate it into some of your own home blending and that type of thing. So, it's good tobacco. And I will say the folks at Sutliff are doing a really good job of producing a high quality leaf. Now, I even feel like in the past, 5 or 6 years, they've stepped up in a way that I don't know if people really anticipated, and I appreciate Sutliff for doing such a good job. They're a great company.
There you go. All right, man. This next one. Now, this is coming from some of the discussion that occurred in the Squire Lounge, and of course, this is our kind of our private group for Country Squire Radio supporters and patrons and club members, specifically club members. And so I'm abbreviating the names here just because they're of the uniqueness of it being in a private group and that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Next to positive, the both these individuals would not mind me sharing this, but I just just for the sake of playing by the rules, so to speak, I'm doing some abbreviation. This one's coming in from GB through the Squire Lounge. Said, I listened to the McClellan show at lunch today. I was lucky enough to be able to get some of what I wanted when the end came. The part that bugged me was the fact that they lied about the ending, just like John David said. I heard the same thing afterwards from my local brick and mortar. Oh, we're just out right now to, oh, the shutting, the doors are shut. I still enjoy their products, and I'm glad I restarted smoking in the, May 2017, soon enough to learn about them before they were gone, and to have been able to at the time to grab some. I wish I had known more then about which were the true best blends. I would have gotten more of the Virginia 20 series and the Dark Star and Blackwoods, etc., and probably not worried about the Frog series. Oh, how dare you. That is from, again, that's GB in our Squire Lounge.
Yeah, man, great content or context there. And I think after, kind of putting out our statements and that show that we did, it was affirming to hear that I, wasn't, of course I'd heard a lot of this before, but, heard from some brick and mortar folks that, they had gotten the same messages and that was, kind of a difficult season to go through, but gosh, we all scrambled there at the end to get our hands on some of that good Virginia leaf to put in our cellars. And certainly those, Virginia 20 series and Blackwoods and so many others, they're well highly priced and well sought after today. That's for sure.
All right. We also have from JC in the Squire Lounge, who said, great show this week. Yeah, I miss McClellan blends, but disagree with the trashing of those who remain in the industry after they made their exit. Thanks to the folks like John David and others who continue to produce pipes and blends that give us so much pleasure. There is still so much quality product and people out there. And again, that's from JC in the Squire Lounge.
Yeah. Yeah, great. And then finally, we've got from our friend Eric Karlosky in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He says, thank you for the gift of episode 306, most needed episode in the history of our hobby. It was perfectly well-balanced, sensitive, yet honest and fair. Thank you, John David, Bo, and Russ. And that's from Eric. So, most of the feedback that we got kind of in this sense was relatively affirming, I would say. And then, of course, some folks checking to make sure that my car wasn't keyed or anything like that. But, I think folks were, it was kind of in some ways hard to open up some of those old wounds, but folks felt like it was appropriate content, but also you know, we're just again reminded of how great a loss of to the pipe world that that you know the loss of McClelland is, and so and then you know you've got folks like Lorelei who are looking for you know opportunities to find tobaccos that are you know going to be the successors pointing them in the in that direction. So anyway, all this is constructive and good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that we were able to do this and share it on the show. For, like I said, for one thing, it's such a different episode. We didn't feel that we should just share our own thoughts. We wanted to make sure there was going to be space and an episode to share some thoughts from the community, regardless of which direction that was going to go in. And we didn't know. We didn't know what direction the feedback was going to go in. But, man, it does help, I think, at least for us personally and hopefully for others, to kind of close a door on, you know, to some extent,
yeah, sure,
to kind of give it a little bit of that cathartic wrap up, mm-hmm, to what was a difficult time. And, you know, I think one of the things that I just really appreciate, especially from the feedback, is those that really kind of heard your voice in this. And I really, man, I just need to thank you so much for being willing to get as kind of raw and personal as you did on the show, because I know that is not something you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you were going to get as raw and comfortable as you did. I didn't expect that. and I don't mean that in any kind of negative way. I just didn't expect it to go there.
Yeah,
I think you helped a lot of people in that.
Yeah.
And I know you did, because we heard it from a lot of tobacconists and a lot of industry folks. And I knew this was going to be the case. I knew this was going to be the case years ago, man. I've been saying for so long that we need to do that episode, because I heard over and over again from people who were hurt and angry and didn't have a voice to speak up. And I'm like, man, look, if we don't, that's what we got to do.
I guess. So, yeah,
exactly. And I can't say that, not the way that you can. And I really, on behalf of them, man, I thank you for being as raw and as real as you
were.
Well,
again, we don't, as someone, as I mentioned before, who is painfully codependent, it was difficult, but, man, glad the pipe community is loving and forgiving and everything else. And, man, just, for folks that are on all sides of the aisle on that kind of issue, man, just, appreciate the ears and the encouragement and the constructive feedback and everything else. So, yep.
There you go. Well, hey, this officially wraps up like all the weird episodes of Country Squire Radio. I think we're going like just to pure normal for at least another year. I think we could probably get away with a year of normal.
Pure normal for us is a bunch of weird though. Yeah, so we'll see.
We'll go back to Country Squire Radio normal. It'll be great. So nothing but normal shows coming up here in the future. You know, hopefully you've enjoyed these, and if you didn't, good, because they're gone. They're over. This is the last one. we're going back to the classics and the basics here next week. But thank y'all so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And hey, if you've got some thoughts, feedback, quick fire questions, listener feedback, or more for the show, you can always email us show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also follow us on the social media at Squire Radio on Twitter, @_CountrySquire, @JohnDavidCole. All that information and more can be, of course, found at CountrySquireRadio.com. The show is made possible by our good friends over at Missouri Meerschaum, but also from our amazing patrons over at Patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. As I mentioned, we shared some of the thoughts from our Squire Lounge, which is an exclusive Facebook group to our club members. So if you'd like to join that and learn more about how you can support the show, again, that is Patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. John David, we did it. We did the thing. The
man, we did it.
The chapter is closed.
We did it. Well, it is for now. We may get some more feedback, but yeah, I think we'll it's we hope we put a nice ribbon on the end of it, and man, are just thankful. Thankful there's so much good tobacco left out there, and man, just thankful that we have an exciting community to be a part of.
That's right. All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.